wise and foolish builders. Wise and foolish builders. Jesus explained to us that we have two kinds of builders. And of course, in life, it is true. It's either you are a very good builder or a poor or foolish builder. Any house that is built on the principles of good construction will stand the test of time, because there will be a time of storm. So when storm comes, any house that is built properly and on the right foundation will stand the test of time. Now, Jesus here was giving this parable to make us to understand the fact that in our lives, there will always be time of storm. I think we all know that. There will always be a time of storm. In a relationship, in business, in profession, in any way you find yourself, in an endeavor in life, in an assignment, you will always have a time of storm. And that is why it is very important to take care of some principles that can help us to stand at the time of storm in our lives. Either spiritually, physically, professionally, in any way, storm comes. For you to be able to stand, we need to know some things. So if you join with me to Matthew chapter 7, I want to carefully read this. And there are examples in the Bible, but we're going to take notice of maybe like two examples of the fact that God will always require from us as certain things that we cannot do without, but to give precise answer to all his questions. So if we check Matthew chapter 7, and you begin to read with me, verse 24. It said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them," I'm reading King James Version, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Upon a rock. You know, God places emphasis on doing it, on doing the work of doing the word that we are hearing. So God places great emphasis of being the doer of God's word, of being the doer of all his instructions, without any excuse. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." So, in this case, it is the desire of God that we should build the building of our lives upon a rock. Upon a rock. That when wind will blow, when storm will come, when rain or all those things will come, it will be able to stand those tests of time. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This was the conclusion, about the conclusion of the sermon of Jesus Christ on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And after Jesus explained everything about the law, about this, about love, about that, and then he came to the conclusion. It's just like saying, let us get to the conclusion of the whole matter. So the conclusion of Christian living is to be the doer of the word. It's so important that not only that you should be the hearer, not only that you should be the preacher of the word, but the doer of the word, because it is only the doer of the word of God that will make it to heaven. It's a kind of zero tolerance that anyone that fails to do all that you are hearing today, anyone that fails to follow all those principles, all those teachings, all those sermons, all those preachings, anyone that fails To follow these things will not, and I want to put it straight, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is this, that is what Jesus was explaining to us. So Jesus took time to compare this on the note of he who is building. One man was building and he built on a rock. The other one was building and he built on the sand. Now you have choices to do whatever you want to do. I will take you to Apollo 16. There was a general that went with them to the space, to the moon on the Apollo 16. I think his name was General Charles M. Duke. I remember very well, Charles M. Duke. He was being interviewed by somebody. After they came back from the moon, some people visited him, and they were asking him, the general, how great was this trip? How great was this trip? And they told him, they asked him, said, general, tell us some things. I think while you are in the moon, you can do anything you like. You are not on earth, you are in the moon. So you can do whatever you like because you are there all alone. You are independent. You have the choices. And then General Duke said something that touched my heart while I was reading this story. General Duke said that in the moon, based on his experience of Apollo 16, he said it is zero tolerance. He said an astronaut who wants to go to the moon cannot be a rebel. He said a rebel cannot go to the moon or to the space. He said you have to do everything precise. And he brought them to a note when they landed on the moon. He said it was an heavy landing on the moon. And they asked him, what do you mean by heavy landing? He said they had plenty of fuel in the shuttle. He said, plenty of fuel. And they said, you explain, what do you mean by plenty of fuel? He said they had the amount of fuel that will last them for 1 minute. That will last them. He said, everything must be precise. He said, it's a great level of discipline. You cannot be on your own. You cannot say, I have to do it as I want to do it. They say, move like this. I have to move like this. And that's why not just anybody can travel to the moon or go to the space. You just raise up your hands. I want to go also. Not only if you are smart in your profession, they want to watch you. They want to see how you respond. They want to see if you have the sense of unity, sense of oneness. If you listen, if you are disciplined, if you listen to instruction, if you can be teachable, even the way you move, you cannot move anyhow because there is no force of gravity in the space. What makes you to move around and you can jump up and land is the force of gravity. If you jump up over there anyhow, you will hang. And who's going to help you? So, General Duke said, if you want to come back to the earth, he said, you have to listen and you have to do everything. No mistake. Because any mistake you commit could end up the life of everybody. And of course, if in the world we can do that, if human beings can get to such a level, instruction of discipline, of such instruction of professionalism, and they were able to make it, and people are still going, then how much more those of us Christians with Holy Spirit in us, with God the Father, with God the Son, helping us to live our life, to live our lives rather. Jesus Christ was not just giving this parable, or was not just ending this sermon on this note, on this instruction. Because Jesus knew that at the end of the day, the one that will be justified will be the one who built his house upon a rock. As a Christian, there will be a time of temptation. As a Christian, there will be a great time of challenge. Your Christianity will be challenged. Your walk with God will be challenged. And what Jesus was trying to explain to us is this. When this time comes, will you be able to stand? Praise the Lord. Wise and foolish builders. Jesus emphasizes two things. First, hearing. And the second, doing. There is a great difference from hearing and then from doing. And God is not going to let anybody go when you refuse to do what you have heard and what you know is right. And you refuse to do it. God will not let anybody go without taking care of the little details. Like General Duke said, you have to take care of little, little details. Little, little details if you want to come back to meet your family. You cannot just play with your life over there. Do you know many Christians we play with our lives today? We just want to do anything we like. We don't care. We believe it's my life. Of course, it's your life. But somebody's going to ask you at the end of the day, because today it could seem as if it's yours, but I want to tell you, you are just a caretaker of that life given you by God. It's not yours. And here Jesus was explaining to us one fact that if you fail to build your house upon the rock, you will lose all at the end. You will lose all. Everything you will lose. If you fail to build your house upon the rock, if you fail to do that which God asks you to do, if you fail to follow these instructions you are listening to today, you will lose all. Knowing what is right, doing this is quite another thing. You can know what is right, you may refuse to do it. And it's a sin. And Jesus used two words, wise and foolish. Wise and foolish. You know, wisdom is not just wisdom. Wisdom, I always tell you, is application of knowledge. If everything you are listening to today, you fail to apply them into your life, if you fail to apply these things you are listening to into your life, then where is the wisdom? Where is the wisdom? If you know everything, you can recite everything offhand, and you cannot practice these things, of what use? Of what use? The measure of success and failure in the eyes of God is quite different than that of man. How we measure success in the eyes of God is different from how human beings we measure success. Let's see John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. And then we'll keep one example in the Bible. Are you with me this afternoon? Can somebody read it for me, please? John 14, verse 15. Okay. Is that verse 15? Okay. If you love me, do what? Sometimes we say, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. Okay, to know if you love God is if you are the doer of his instructions, of his words. And some of us, we think God is going to descend and come down and talk to us. No! God is going to be sending ministers, pastors, you know, evangelists, and those of his representatives, his ambassadors here. If you love me, keep my commandments or do my commandments. You see, love for God, I want you to take notice of this, is judged by our obedience. Our love for God is judged by our obedience. And this one, I'm going to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's see what happened here. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15. Now, this is a very common story that you all know very well. But I'm just going to lay emphasis on verse 22. But before we get to verse 22, see what happened. If I read from verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, you know this story, I'm just going to read and then explain. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Remember when I was preaching on Exodus, we mentioned this, when they came out of Egypt, Amalek fought against them. And then God promised that he's going to destroy Amalek. God said, I will fight Amalek from generations to generations. I think you remember that. That story been a while now, some weeks ago, or some months. And our God here was coming to fulfill that. And God was trying to give instruction to Saul to do exactly what he intended to do according to his will. And that is why, new brethren, when God asks you to do something, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Regardless of the consequences, you have to obey the voice of God. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. That was God's instruction to Saul. I think you know this story very well. You can remember now. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass, everything. Saul, go, destroy. Simple. Simple instruction. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in telling 200 and so. And Saul came to the city Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Anyway, if you continue to read down, let's read some of it. I'm thinking about my time, but let's read some of it. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye shew kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Avilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekite, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatness, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroy utterly. They destroy all the garbage. They destroy all the waste. But all those good things, greediness, made him to spare all the good things. And because of power, he spared the king. Not knowing that it was not of him that will it. It's not of him that run it. It's of God that showed mercy. For him to be able to do that which he was doing, it was bestowed upon him by God. Right? It was not his own power to be able to overcome the Amalekites. So he captured a king like himself, brought that king to Israel, took all the good things. Contrary to God's principle that he should destroy everything. And you know the reason he gave? To utter sacrifice unto God. And let's jump. Okay, look at verse 10 and 11. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, I repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel was not happy, because Saul was the first king to be chosen. We cannot go to the detail of this, because God desired to rule his people. But the people thought they want to be like other nations. And so they demanded to have a king. And they told Samuel, give us a king. And Samuel said, this request of yours is not in resonance with the will of God. Because see, brethren, time will fail me to explain to you. There are two kinds of wills. We have the perfect will of God, and we have the permissive will of God. Are you with me? Perfect will of God and permissive will of God. It is the desire of God for all of us Christians, if we love God, to be in the perfect will of God. I think nobody is sleeping. To be in the perfect will of God. But because there is a power given to you at birth, and that is the power of choice. God will see, a man can be stripped of everything. God can remove everything from your life, can strip you of everything. But the power to choose, God will not take it from you. That's what makes you to be like the image of God. That's what makes you to be a human being. Hello? Do you understand me now? But any choice that we take that may be contrary to God's own perfect will, you will answer and you will dance to the consequences. That's where God is waiting for everybody. So these people desire to have a king like other nations around them, contrary to the perfect will of God, that God desires to make them special people, to make them good example, to show how God can relate perfectly in love with human beings. They don't want that. Give us another king. And Samuel thought that they had rejected him. Then he went back to God. And God said, give them a king. And the first king given to them, Saul, look at the way he messed up big time. Of course, God told Samuel to tell the people, okay, this king you are asking for, we do this to you, we do that, we be greedy. We take your wives, we take your oxen, we take your handmaids, we take this, we take that. They say, hey, Samuel, listen to us. We don't want to listen to that. Just give us what? We want to be like other nations. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Any wife in the house that begins to compare herself with another wife outside our family will soon be in trouble. Do you understand me now? Not everything that shines is gold. We soon be in trouble. Any man that begins to compare himself with another man, we soon be in trouble. You must be yourself. Be yourself. You'll be in trouble. I heard somebody was talking back home. You know, somebody was talking about me. You know, I lost my mother in 2007. She was 90 years old, where it was a celebration. But my siblings, they thought because I live in America, okay, I will have to fly into Nigeria with plane loaded with dollars. Sure. And I don't go, you see, I don't show off. I don't go beyond my, I know myself. You know, one part of Nigeria, they do like this to you. When they do this, they tell you something and say, it seems say, you know, way. Amen? I can weigh myself. I know where I can, you know, what I'm talking about. So anyway, everything was done. It was good. We did all we can do. I did all I can do. But later, somebody was referring to it. He said, I did not do something somebody did. He said, somebody, when the mother died, that this person lives, or he was living, or he's still, maybe he's still living now, overseas. When he came back home, they told me that he bought, they said that the mother had seven children. That this man came and bought cow for each and all the siblings. One cow each for all of them. And then gave them personal money and tell them, go and do this funeral very well. Bought them cow, gave them money to cook and marry and do everything. And they said, I did not do that. That, and I also live in America. But I was not there when they were discussing. If I had been there, I would ask them. Everybody in America, is everybody the same? When people go home and display this money, you know how they get their money? Okay, how am I going to buy a car for all of you? Where you're all working, you are all working. What, is it compulsory for you to kick out? If you cannot kick out, come and eat the one I killed. Hello? Come and eat the one I killed. But now for me to give you cow, each of you, and then give you money, each of you, and then you compare it and compare it. Listen, the Bible says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. If you want to do anything and it's based on comparison, I want to be like competition. Ah, you see that the way that man is dressing, I'm going to beat that man hands down. Ah, next Sunday, when I appear in the church, you will see me. In fact, as a matter of fact, I'm going to make sure I will import hard my appearance. And then, now, I want to tell you, I don't see if there, in this world, anyone like you will always be. The only thing you cannot have is anyone like God. Amen? Yeah. If you are a millionaire, somebody was a millionaire before you. Somebody will be a millionaire after you, if Jesus tarries. And then why do we have to place unnecessary pressure on ourselves. The results of placing unnecessary pressure on yourself is not good. Israelites place unnecessary pressure on themselves, and they desire to have a king like other nations. And look at what happened to them here. Saul was so stubborn. And look at verse 22. Verse 22. Well, let's read from verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, it will be sweet if we can go from 16. Please pardon because of time. Let me look at my time, because I want you to come back on Sunday next week. If a pastor is just preaching and is not careful of time, it's not good, right? Yeah. Then Samuel said unto Saul, from verse 16, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on, Samuel. I don't think, when you come to somebody, you're talking to somebody, you say, no, I know myself, I'm free. I don't have anything in me. Continue to talk. You know, something maybe fishing. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Should that be on your own? God did that to you. That was a privilege. That was not a right. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But this fly upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at the excuse. We can easily point accusing finger to Saul. Some of us, we do the same thing exactly. Some people, you can't get them. They will give you an excuse. They will give you an excuse. And they will quote the Bible to support themselves. Some people have been met doing adultery or fornication. They're referring to Jesus Christ with Mary the Magdalene and Mary the brother of Lazarus. That they will tell you, is it ordinary for somebody to pour all the oil on somebody? You think it's ordinary? They say, that was a great love. For God forbid, God cannot sin. Some people have been caught stealing. They refer to Jesus Christ. They say, go and bring that donkey. When they ask you, tell them the Lord has to do with it. People quote so many things. Even the gay communities. They say, what are you talking about? Jesus had 11 men with him. He enjoys, and they get somewhere to quote. But we are all going to see who is a liar at the end of the day. Because in God we move, in God we live. In God we have our being, and we shall all return back to God exactly. Above all excuses, let us stand and do the will of God. God cannot lie. God is righteous. There is no single unrighteousness found in God. All these same people are quoting, they are not right. When Jesus was born, a man was waiting for the glory to be shown. His name was Simon. And when Jesus was to be named the eighth day, Simon was there, and Simon said, this boy is given for the rising and falling of many nations. You are a nation, right? People will always quote Jesus Christ for anything they do. They quote Jesus Christ. Some will quote the Bible and twist the Bible to support themselves. Ask the polygamists. They have somewhere to quote the Bible. Polygamists, ask them. They will tell you somewhere to stand on. It's all for us. If we obey, we will eat the fruit of the land. And that's what is it. And look at the excuse of Saul here. Look at his excuse. And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned. No, I jump it. Let's see verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Was that true? And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, not me. It's the people, the members of my congregation, made me to lie. Not me. Did you see it in my hand? I didn't do anything. The same thing the heads of governments always do. If you meet any governor in any wrongdoings, oh, no, no, I didn't do it. People do it. Anybody, ask. Either you are a mayor, you are a governor, you are a president, you will always blame your subordinates. But the responsibility, you can delegate duties. In management, you never delegate responsibilities. Hello? And that is why the sins of the nation, God will ask from the head of that nation. The problem of the family, God will ask the head of that family. Our children, sometimes they don't understand when we try to, you know, when we try to gyrate and jump up and say, no, you can't do that. We cannot in this family. You cannot change the name of the family, this and that. They don't understand. Some will say, I am 18. And when you are 18, you are still bearing my name. You live in my house. You sleep there. You eat. You do everything. But you don't want to listen to my instruction. Is that going to work? No. You want to put two captains to lead a, you know, wow, no. That would be a problem. So children must understand that. And it's from love. Yeah, Saul was trying to be the leader, taking the position of God. The people. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the sheep of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God, in Gilgal. Samuel, we want to sacrifice unto your God. You know, he didn't say unto our God. Hello? Say, Samuel, unto your God. We want to sacrifice in Gilgal. Is it not your God? We took these things to sacrifice unto your God. And that's what some people do. When you meet them in a wrongdoing, they will not take it. Some people will not want to listen. In fact, some people will think that you are trying to prognose into their affairs, personal affairs. But the benefit is obvious. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. You know, the worst thing is, there is nothing you can place in exchange to obedience. Not even your tithe, not your offering, not your service. You cannot place anything to replace obedience. God wants you to obey. Some of us, we think that we can bribe God with our sacrifices, with our any. No! All God needs you, you think God owns everything now. Owns everything, even what you think you have, that we are trying to give to God. When God has to give you something, you know, they gave us an illustration of a young boy. The mother gave him, meat from a pot of stew. After this meat, the pot was full with soup and meat and all these things. And after a while, they said the mother went back to him and said, let me eat part of this thing. And he will do like this. You know, it looks funny. Because the mother got the whole pot. She just gave you a little bit from what she had. But because of, you know, being a child, sometimes we behave like children too. From what God has given us, God now asking you back, and then you are doing as if you own everything. As if even what you have, you think is by your own strength. No, nobody has anything by his or her own strength. It's all by the grace of God. It's only by the grace. And so, this is the popular place. This verse 22. To obey is better than sacrifice. You cannot replace obedience with anything. And so, this is what Jesus was saying here. You will obey me when you do what I command you. You will love me when you do all and follow all my instruction. If you say you love God, you fail to follow God's instruction, you don't love God. Proverbs 14 verse 2. Somebody please. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 2. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 2. Yes, you disperse, you kind of allow people to mock God. when you are not upright, when you don't do what God asks you to do. That's what this place is trying to explain to us. If we follow and do what God asks us to do, it's great. John 14, verse 23, please. John 14, verse 23. Yes. Yes, if you love me, you will keep my words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, and then we'll come and live with you. If anybody stands to keep the words of God, if anybody desires to do the will of God, God will love to live with you. He will love to dwell in your family. He will love to be with you all the time. All God is asking you to do, to obey God. Who wants to be a wise builder here? Raise up your hands. Wise builders. Foolish builders, it's not in the church. Will not come to the church. If he comes, he will repent and be a wise builder. God wants you to be wise. Because God kept all of us by his power. 1 Peter verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And then Jude 24. Jude verse 24, if you read it, see it, read it. 1 Timothy 1 12. We are kept by God's power. We don't have anything of our own. Let's do his word. Let's love him by doing his commandments. If we see any one of these, read. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We are kept by the power of God. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. Thank you. It's God that counted him, Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who had enabled me for that. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Anything that you have is by the grace of God. If God places you in this country, if God places you in that, your family, if God allows you and spared your life, let us love him by following him, by doing all his instructions and all the sermons we are listening to, desire to be the doer of the word. Jude verse 24. If you have it, read it. Yes. But to him that is able to keep you from falling. It's God that can keep us from falling. I want to give the last example before we go tonight. The last example before we go. God is not going to take any excuse from us. Do you know that when we begin to research into doing his word, or that wise and foolish builders, Jesus placing emphasis on hearing the word and doing the word, that there's a great difference between when somebody hears the word of God and when that same person does what he or she heard. Some people will say that, no, I don't understand. It's just because I don't understand. Some will say, you know, what you are telling me, I don't know. I don't get it right. But even under the law of the land, nobody will take that from you. Even God is not going to take that from you. If policemen should stop you, no matter what that policeman is saying, you have to listen to that policeman. Even if that policeman is not explaining very well to you, as long as he's telling you to do something, you must carefully, you could ask questions to understand, but you cannot give excuse and say, oh, I don't know. There is no excuse for the ignorance of the law. Hello? So the same thing when God is dealing with us. And I want us to see the case of Uzzah before we go. 2 Samuel chapter 6, please. Then we are going to, you know, go through this briefly, and we are going home now. Hello? God bless you for listening to me. God bless you for listening to God. Amen. Good. But it is my prayer that our service to God will never be in vain. All that God is trying to, you know, place us is to make sure that at the end of our days we'll be with him in the heavens or in his glory. He doesn't want us to labor here and not be able to get to heaven. If you look chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, this is an important part of the scripture that you should understand. Especially those of us that makes excuses. God will not replace lack of understanding, you know, with obedience. All God wants us to do is to follow instruction and obey instruction. The difference between us and the people of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. In this dispensation that we are in, we are in the dispensation of grace. Today, anybody can raise up his hand and bless God anyhow. You can stand and say, God, your head is not correct. Yes. And you can still live for many years before you die. Is that not right? In fact, you can still repent after some years and God will forgive you. That is the difference. And just because this dispensation was initiated with the blood of Jesus Christ, that is why you can do anything and God will still be patient with you. Because God does not want anybody to perish. But in that time of those days, you mess up with the law. You mess up with God's instruction. You die immediately. You talk anyhow to even God's representative, not even God now. You talk anyhow to the priest. You get your reward instantly. In fact, the priest will be pleading that, God, please, 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 don't do this. God, come on, God, hold your hand of anger. Oh, God, do this. Hold on. But today, we can call pastors, sit down, pastor. Who are you? Do you know my age? Let me ask you, by the matter of fact, when did you come to this country? That's why your accent is still very strong. You know, we can do that. You can say, pastor, do you know the way you preached that time? You were preaching about me? Is it because we come to church? Eh? Because we come to church, that's why, God, I know my class. And we can say all that and then see, go around, eat our fufu, do anything right, and see, buy new cars and ride in new building and live in new building and do anything. And at the end of the day, you can still repent. You get to heaven, right? Why? Jesus Christ died for us. And is the only advocate that we have, the only lawyer that we plead in every time. Father, have mercy on these people. I die because of them. They are in fallen nature. God, forgive them. Just be patient. God, be patient. Be patient with these people. They will repent. I came to them. I came to the world. I suffered because of these people. And God must listen. Because truly speaking, Jesus suffered. When Jesus carried the old sin of the world, God looked the other side. Because God will not be old sin. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did you forsake me? He was forsaken because of you. He was crucified like a criminal. Because of you and because of me. That's why we can do that. Look at Uzzah here. Look at Uzzah. If you read that, it's a very good story that you can read all the time. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from tents the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. God, very powerful, merciful, but great in punishing people that misbehave. It's a consuming fire. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and all cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the hack of God. He died there. In fact, if you read that story very well, David was flabbergasted, was displeased. Come on. Uzzah was trying to help, right? The ark shook on the cart. The ark just shook. And Uzzah said, oh, less is going to fall. Touch it. But contrary to God's rules and regulations. In fact, the Levite that will be dancing and the chain of Aaron that's supposed to carry the ark, according to the instruction of Moses, we put stick. You know, there will be, if the ark has like four edges, there are rings, like wedding rings, on each of the edges. And they will pass stick to go in between, and they will carry it. One person here, another person here, another person here, another person here, four of them, we carry the ark, they will never touch the ark. They will carry it like that because it denotes the presence of God. It's not going to fall. The ark traveled all the way from Philistines to Israel on the desert without anybody guiding the ark. And the ark came to the city. And it was kept in the house of Abinadab. And they were just trying to bring the ark to the palace of the king within the city. And Uzzah said, the ark shook. God smote him because it was an error. Because there's no excuse. He should know. Not just ordinary person can. Even Uzzah was not part of the priesthood that's supposed to even carry the ark. Let alone to say, to touch the ark. He was smitten for that error. In fact, David was so much afraid, and he said, don't bring the ark to my palace. Don't bring to, no. Ah, this is tough. Until everything cools down. And Obed-Edom took a big risk. It's another sermon. Because sometimes, some of us want to succeed without taking risk. We want to have blessings with no risk. Where do you see that? They want resurrection without crucifixion. They want to graduate without going to college. How is that going to be possible? It's another sermon entirely. Obed-Edom said, okay, David, if you are not going to allow the ark to come to the palace, let the ark come to my house. And at that time, hey, listen, at that period, the ark was a problem. The ark was a liability. Nobody wants to carry liability in life, even not this life. Do you want any liability? Do you want liability? If I had some of us here to raise up, to ask for what we like, what do we want? You're not going to tell me anything that will create liability. I know we'll be asking for something great, something that will make you not to work and get money, something that will make you to be like Obama, something like, no, you'll be, right? Nobody wants liability. So at that time, Obed-Edom said, okay, I want this liability. Bring the liability to my house. And no resistance. Nobody was fighting. Nobody's going to argue about things like that. No, let it be my house. No, let it be your house. No, bring your... No, it was all alone. No vote. They took it to his house. And right there, what happened to him? He was being blessed. Seriously blessed. Everything. Blessing was coming. Blessing was coming. And he stayed in his house for how many months? 3 months. And David said, it's okay. It's what? Obed-Edom, you got enough. Let me also have what? Let me also be blessed. Let the ark come to my house too. It's okay. Obed-Edom, are you the king? And then they brought the ark. David danced. Greatly danced. That was the only place recorded in the Bible that David openly danced. If you continue, we will read that. Openly danced. He danced to the level that Micah, I think it was Micah, the daughter of Saul, if I'm right, said, ah, king, what happened to you? Before your maze, you undressed your dear self and you were dancing. And David said, are you talking to me? God that put me on throne, even while your father, Saul, was alive. That's God I'm dancing to. And the Bible recorded that she was the only woman in the Bible barren. Only woman in the Bible can say this woman was what? No children. And but for that act. Because it was a great thing. David won that blessing also. And danced and said, God, okay, I didn't take the liability. Now I want to forgive me all that. So, brethren, God wants us to obey him. Let us try to obey God. We have a lot of gain when we follow God's instruction. In fact, if you want to live a peaceful life in any nation, Obey the law of the nation. Obey the law of the nation. If you break the rules in a nation, they will think that you are trying to insult that nation, right? They will not be happy with you. Breaking the rules, making things to be as it's supposed not to be, it's going to cause a lot of commotion. Let us obey God. So we have wise builder, we have foolish builders. And I pray that we shall all be wise builders in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this to you, then we are going home. If you look at Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasures